An animated blue sky, fluffy clouds pass by. A rectangular bar with the word Studio Canal inside. A blue triangle with a green E next to it, an Avco Embassy film. A caption, "Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream?" Edgar Allan Poe. In the darkness of night, a boy wrapped in a blanket watches someone dangle a brass pocket watch. A hand snaps it shut. It's a grey-bearded old man wearing a sailor's hat.
11:55, almost midnight. Enough time for one more story. One more story before 12. Just to keep us warm. In 5 minutes, it'll be the 21st of April. 100 years ago, on the 21st of April, out in the waters around Spivey Point, a small clipper ship drew toward land. Suddenly, out of the night, the fog rolled in. For a moment, they could see nothing, not a foot ahead of them. And then they saw a light. My God, it was a fire burning on the shore, strong enough to penetrate the swirling mist. Steered a course toward the light, but it was a campfire like this one. The ship crashed against the rocks. The hull sheared in two. The mast snapped like a twig, and the wreckage sank with all the men aboard. At the bottom of the sea lay the Elizabeth Dane with her crew. Their lungs filled with salt water, their eyes open and staring into the darkness. And above, as suddenly as it had come, the fog lifted, receded back across the ocean, and never came again. But it is told by the fishermen and their fathers and grandfathers that when the fog returns to Antonio Bay, the men the bottom of the sea, out in the water by Spivey Point, will rise up and search for the campfire that led them to their dark and icy death. 12 o'clock, the 21st of April.
A whole group of kids have been watching around a campfire with rapt and frightened faces. Avco Embassy and EDI present nighttime over a curved, sweeping coastline. Waves lap onto a beach. White captions, John Carpenter's The Fog. A Deborah Hill production. Inside a church, the radio plays as a mustachioed guy finishes some maintenance work.
It's 12 midnight, and we've just started into the witching hour. This is Stevie Wayne, on top of the world tonight. And I'll be here right up until about 1 o'clock.
The guy turns a light off. The guy walks through the church pews and turns another light off, starring Adrian Burbau and Jamie Lee Curtis. And Janet Leigh as Kathy Williams. By the pulpit, the man turns one more light off and the church falls into darkness. He makes his way into an office study where a priest is holding a bottle of wine.
I'm all through, Father. Oh, thank you, Bennett. I won't need you until 4 tomorrow, Bennett.
Yes, sir.
Would you like something to keep you warm on the way home?
No, thank you. Father, can I get paid?
Why don't you come in at 6 instead of 4 tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
The man, Bennett, leaves. The gray-haired priest takes a sip of wine.
Bennett? Bennett? Bennett?
The priest turns his head.
Hello?
A section of the rock wall in the room falls away in the priest's office, and he drops his radio and his glass of wine in shock. The priest, Father Malone, slowly makes his way to the hole in the wall to inspect it. Father Malone reaches up and touches something in the hole. It's an old leather-bound book. He takes it out and opens it up. Inside there's an ink inscription, Journal of Father Patrick Malone, 1880. He looks back up into the hole in the wall where there's something wrapped in green cloth. He turns to one of the back pages where there's writing, April the 30th, midnight till 1 belongs to the dead. Good Lord, deliver us.
It's 59 degrees outside, and let me be the first to wish Antonio Bay a happy birthday. We're 100 years old today. The weatherman's been trying to spoil it for us. He says we may be in for some rain tonight. But from where I'm sitting, it looks like clear skies. I think the weatherman's been working too hard. Well, I'll stay here for another hour, just to see if he's right. And I'm inviting you to stay here with me.
In a Coast Guard's office, a middle-aged guy writes in a logbook. Out in the street, telephones in booths ring by themselves. In a grocery store, a guy in his 20s wearing jeans and a checked shirt sweeps up. He takes some orange juice from a fridge and drinks some. He puts the orange juice back in the fridge and begins sweeping the floor again. A spy mirror in the top corner of the shop starts shaking by itself. The guy stops sweeping when he hears something smash inside the store. Shelves shake. Two drinks fridges behind him also shake. The guy puts his broom away and walks down an aisle to investigate. A shop sign is broken and swinging from the ceiling. Maritime souvenirs in the shop tremble on their shelves. A clock on the wall announces 12:04. Outside a garage, lights come on by themselves. A gas pump nozzle detaches itself. Gas pours out onto the ground. In the garage, a repair lift with a parked car on it rises by itself. The counter on the fuel pump whizzes round as the gas continues to leak. A fire bell rings by itself. In a car park, headlights on vehicles come on by themselves at the exact same time. Hearing the racket, a woman plods through into her lounge wearing a nightdress. She heads over to the window. The woman turns and sees her television switch itself on. She gapes as an armchair slides across the floor. Various views of one of the town's empty streets and a long country road.
This is KAB, Antonio Bay, California. 6 minutes after midnight. Haven't heard from the weatherman yet, so I can't say for sure about that rain. But there's a full moon and no clouds in the sky. I'm Stevie Wayne, and if you don't have anything to do right now, I'll be here playing music all through the witching hour.
A middle-aged guy, Nick, drives a truck along.
Even if you do have something to do, keep me turned on for a while. And I'll try my best to do the same for you.
Okay.
He slows down when he sees a hitchhiker standing in the darkness by the side of the road. She's a pretty woman in her early 20s. He stops to pick her up. The woman, Elizabeth, gets in. She's wearing a camel-coloured leather jacket.
Hi. How far are you going?
Other side of town.
It's close enough.
Make it?
Yeah. Thank you.
She stares at Nick as he drives. Nick offers her a can of Budweiser.
Sip.
Thanks.
She takes a sip and continues staring anxiously at him.
Listen, I never hitchhiked before. I just really want to be careful. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Are you weird?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am weird.
You are weird.
Yes.
You're weird, thank God. The last run I had was so normal, it was disgusting. He picked me up in Santa Barbara. By the time we got to Carmel, he wanted to marry me.
Oh, yeah. I thought you never hitchhiked before.
Not before last week. You're my 13th ride.
Oh, great. Weird and unlucky.
We'll see.
The side and front windows of the truck explode. Nick pulls up.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You
I'm
sure?
Fine. I think so.
What the hell was...
It's exactly 12 minutes after midnight, and this is Stevie Wayne, your night pilot, around until about 1 o'clock. I'm high tonight in the KAB Lighthouse on Spivey Point, and in case you've forgotten, it's April 21st, and a happy birthday for Antonio Bay. Now, there's a celebration planned for tonight, so if you're so excited about it you can't sleep, well, stay up with me, and I'll figure out some way to keep you occupied. Or not.
In the lighthouse, Stevie, the DJ, answers the phone.
Hey, B.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, Dan. What have you got?
Well, I'm just calling to see if you're lonely, if there's anything I can do about it.
Never lonely, Dan. I thought you were off work at 8.
I changed shifts so I can make it to the big party tonight. Will you be there?
Well, until I can talk someone else into giving up city life for Antonio Bay, I'm it. And it means day and night.
Too much work.
Well, that's what I get for owning a station. And if you don't tell me why you call in about 15 seconds, I'm going to have to hang up on you.
You want something to talk about?
Anything.
I've got a position on a trawler about 15 miles out. They're called the seagrass. And I've got something on my scope. It appears to be a fog bank. It's about 25 miles out, moving in their direction.
Thanks, Dan. That's worth about 10 seconds.
I'm on the air. Bye.
She hangs up and speaks into the mic.
Ahoy, mateys. This is KAB Antonio Bay. Stevie Wayne here, beaming a signal across the sea. For the men of the seagrass, 15 miles out tonight, a warm hello. And keep a watch out for that fog bank heading in from the east. Now, in the meantime, relax with me while I play this song from the Coup de Villes, dedicated just to you.
Boy, would I like to meet her.
I saw her at a grocery store one day.
Yeah?
You would like to meet her.
She's crazy. There's no fog bank out there. What do you know about her?
She owns that lighthouse.
I know that.
Her son plays Little League with my kid brother.
She's a mother?
I thought you were happily married.
Not that happy. Fog bank out there.
A white fog rises over the sea.
Hey. There's a fog bank out there. All right, I'm drunk enough. Let's go back. All right.
The fog moves fast towards the trawler.
Al, come here. Just give him a hand. Come here.
Al, a grizzly bearded guy, looks out of the porthole. The fog rolls towards them. White lights emanate from within it.
What was that?
Upstairs on the boat, a young man turns a radar on and notices that the fog is beginning to sweep through the vessel. The fog completely envelops the trawler. Al and Dick, the other guy, join the young man. As the fog rolls through the electrics of the boat, they flash and the boat goes dark.
It's a generator.
What?
Al and Dick check the deck and see an old ship next to them.
Al.
The ship floats along with a ragged sail. The two men look up at the mast, wide-eyed. Fog covers the ship and it disappears.
It's gone.
Hey,
there was just a ship out there.
Hell, listen.
Nothing.
Listen.
Who's there?
They look around the foggy deck, shining a torch. They suddenly see three ragged statue-like figures standing on deck. The figure at the front holds a hook.
Who is that?
Al grimaces with fear as he looks at the mysterious, obscured figures in front of him. All of them are totally still and watch him through the fog. A sword bursts out of Al's stomach. Dick is stabbed in the back with a hook. Another unseen figure stabs Al in the chest with a dagger. The two men both fall forward and die. Inside the boat, the young guy looks around with his mouth open. A door shakes behind him and then slides open. One of the figures creeps in.
Al, it's right beside us! It's big, Al. It's a ship. It's a big ship.
The boat goes dark and the figure reaches the young man.
Yeah, get wet?
The figure grabs him, turns him, and stabs him in the face with a dagger. Inky black night sky. In the lighthouse, Stevie, a pretty woman in her mid-30s with wavy brown hair, speaks into the mic.
It's 12:43, and I've got four in a row for you right here on KAB.
Stevie rolls her stiff neck and lights up a cigarette. She's wearing a man's checked shirt. She stands up slowly and walks over to the window. Stevie gazes out of the lighthouse window and looks out over the bright moonlit ocean.
Nothing but water, Stevie. It sure beats Chicago.
She answers the phone.
KB.
I like what you said, but for your information, you lied. The fog bank has moved due west and probably missed the ship entirely.
Well, my gauges must be wrong. I've got a wind blowing due east. Now, what kind of a fog moves against the wind?
You got me.
I'm not so sure I want you. You're just a voice on the phone.
And you're just a voice on the radio. We'd make a perfect couple. You let me take you to dinner tonight, I'll prove it to you.
Sorry, Dan. My idea of perfection is a voice on the phone.
Okay, mystery lady.
Good night.
Good night.
Stevie hangs up and notices the fog rolling in on the horizon. She stares out to sea with calm, serene features. In Nick's house, Nick's in bed with Elizabeth, leafing through a book of drawings.
Not bad.
I started a week ago in San Diego. Right up the coast, 5 drawings a day. It'll probably take me a month to get to Vancouver, and if I can sell them for $5 apiece, I'll be rich.
Cool. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Hi. Is that where you're from? San Diego?
Wait a minute. You said, can I ask you something? Well, something to me means one thing. San Diego is two things.
Okay.
Pasadena. And a lot of money. Never a chance to do anything I want to do.
Oh. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
That's okay, me neither. I think I gotta have this one. Can I buy it?
Uh-uh. Drawing's free.
They go to kiss. A figure taps on Nick's glass-paned door. Nick gets out of bed. As he does his flies up, a hook bangs on the glass pane. Nick heads towards the door and stops when he sees the figure slip off. He carries on. As he unlocks the door, a hand outside raises the hook in the air. The glass face of Nick's grandfather clock cracks open as it turns to 1.
It's 1 o'clock straight up. The end of the witching hour and time for me to sign on.
Nick slides the door open and looks outside.
So until tomorrow night at 6 p.m. when KAB comes back on the air, this is Stevie Wayne, your nightlight. Hoping you have a nice rest of the night.
There's no one there. The next day it's breezy with blue skies. A small boy of about 9 wearing a parka coat runs along the beach holding a fishing rod. The boy, Andy, who was sitting by the campfire earlier, stops, seeming to notice something shining ahead of him on some rocks. He carries on running towards a long series of rocks that waves are lapping over. Behind Andy as he runs, rolling cliffs covered in grass stretch out into the distance. Andy looks down at something by his feet. Waves lap over the object, covering it. As the waves recede, curious Andy picks it up. It's a section of driftwood, with some letters etched into it. The letters spell out the word Dane. Excited, Andy runs off with it. A pretty wooden beach house looking over a stretch of water and some lush green hills beyond. Andy runs towards the house. Inside the lounge are photos of Stevie and Andy and a framed newspaper article about Stevie's radio show. Andy runs through the front door and into Stevie's bedroom, where she's asleep.
Sometimes you're a real pain.
Sure, Mom. But look it. First it was a gold coin, and then it turned into this neat piece of wood.
This is one of those times.
Uh-huh, but look at it, Mom.
Good morning, Andrew. Did you have a nice time last night?
Yeah, old Mr. Macon told us ghost stories.
Did you thank Mrs. Kovritz for bringing you home?
Yes, ma'am. Mom, can I have a stomach pounder and a Coke?
After lunch.
Okay. I'm gonna go look for another one. Maybe this time I can get the gold coin.
Andy goes. Stevie looks down at the piece of driftwood. Rugged Nick strides down a pier with Elizabeth. He looks out of sorts as he approaches a harbour man, Hank, who's wearing a woolen coat and hat.
Hell is he?
Pulled out of here at 4:15 yesterday. It's the last I saw.
Al said 7:30, right here.
Well, you know, Al, if I were you, I'd give myself another boat.
You call the Coast Guard, Hank?
Nick, they probably got drunk last night. They're still out here sleeping
at all.
No, he
wouldn't do that.
He'd do anything.
Al and I got drunk so many times together, I can't count them all, but we never got so shit-faced we couldn't make it back in. It's too good a sailor to stay out there all night and not let somebody know.
You sound like his wife.
This is friend.
You worry too much, Nick.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
I'm going to talk Ashcroft into taking out his boat and looking for the seagrass.
Who's Ashcroft?
Someone who owes me a favor.
Can I come along?
Thought you had to move on to Vancouver.
Eventually.
Yeah.
An elderly woman and a young woman pace into an area where a fete is being set up.
Sheriff will drive his own car. The mayor and his wife are to be picked up at 6:45 and brought to the mayor's box. Then we will have speeches by the mayor, sheriff, me. Oh, you have my notes.
Yes, ma'am.
Then we will pass out the candles and begin the procession. Then I will go home and pass out. I'm almost afraid to look. Well...
They inspect a sculpture.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Work of art.
Sandy, just be civil to me for another 5 hours. That's all I ask. The candles. Did you order the candles? What a thought. A candlelight procession with no candles.
All taken care of.
And the promotional material. Did you get that over
signed,
to Stevie at the
sealed,
house?
And delivered.
Sandy, you can be a very annoying person at times, but you do keep me together.
Thank you, Mrs. Williams.
Stevie's driving along in an open-top orange Jeep with the piece of driftwood next to her in the passenger seat. She comes round a bend in the road. She drives uphill through lush grass. The sea laps the coastline beyond.
Ivy Point. As of 1:57 today, the seagrass had not responded to radio communication. The Coast Guard has begun a sweep south from Whately around Arkham Reef and should be in the area of Spivey Point in approximately 1 hour. Repeating this bulletin from the Coast Guard, be on the lookout for the seagrass, a 30-foot trawler last seen approximately 15 miles east of Spivey Point. If you sight this vessel, please notify the Coast Guard immediately.
Elizabeth climbs up a ladder on a speeding boat and heads towards Nick, who's at the front scanning the area.
Question?
Yeah.
Is it always like this?
It's always different.
You're worried, aren't you?
Yeah.
She can get real mean. There.
Nick looks through some binoculars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kathy's with Sandy in a car.
Well, if I can just get through the speeches without yawning. I couldn't sleep last night.
Too excited?
No, Al went out in his boat last night and didn't come home. He still isn't back.
Mrs. Williams?
I called the Coast Guard and they said, oh, he might have had engine trouble. They said not to worry. He was complaining about his boat last
Maybe
week.
Maybe you ought to go home.
Oh, that's the last place I want to go. My dog started to bark at 12 last night and didn't stop until 6 this morning.
What happened?
He was pointed toward the ocean and growling. What does that tell you? My dog goes crazy and decides to bark at the water.
I heard the church bells at midnight as I started to drift off to sleep, and suddenly my car alarm went off for absolutely no reason.
Really?
Uh-huh, woke up the whole block. This town sits around for 100 years and nothing happens, and then one night the whole place falls apart.
Al!
Take this line, too.
Al! Tommy! Nick!
Nick, Elizabeth, and a sailor search the empty trawler.
Cabin and steering house are empty. Maybe somebody picked them up.
There's water in the generator.
But the deck is dry as a bone.
Nick gives a helpless sigh as he looks over the deck. Late middle-aged Kathy drives her cream and brown estate car up a hill past a wooden roadside crucifix. She heads down the drive of the church and parks up. Her and Sandy, an attractive curly brown-haired woman in her early 30s, get out.
There you have it, my next project. Restoration of the Morgantown Road Cemetery. Historical. Our ancestors are buried there.
It's going to cost a lot.
Come on, Sandy. So, this town should be proud of its past. But trying to get anyone involved in community affairs is like pulling teeth. Better get the estimates ready for the council meeting next month.
Yes, ma'am.
Sandy, you're the only person I know who can make yes, ma'am sound like screw you.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, if you'll just say a little prayer asking that he not be in his cups.
The church's side door opens on its own.
Not a good sign.
Father Malone!
Father Malone!
They head inside.
Hello?
Another bad sign.
You try the study and I'll look up front.
As Sandy heads towards Father Malone's office study at the back of the church near the altar, Kathy, slim and dressed in a cream turtleneck and skirt, hurries through the pews to the front of the church. Kathy looks around with a concerned expression.
Father Malone? Jesus!
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Williams. Mrs.
Are
Williams.
Are you all right?
I have something to show you.
In the study, he reads from the leather-bound journal.
December 9. Met with Blake this evening for the first time. He stood in the shadows to prevent me from getting a clear look at his face. What a vile disease this is. He is a rich man with a cursed condition. But this does not prevent him from trying to better his situation and that of his comrades at the colony.
Father Malone turns another page. On the trawler, Nick and Elizabeth come into the room where the radar is. Nick inspects it.
Every single gauge is broken. All the glass is shattered.
Roger something?
Last night.
On your truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks at a wall-mounted thermometer.
Thermometer's broken. Mercury's stuck at 20 degrees. I don't know. There's no water got in here, but something awful cold did.
December 11, Blake's proposition is simple. He wants to move off Tanzier Island and relocate the entire colony just north of here. He has purchased a clipper ship called the Elizabeth Dane with part of his fortune and asks only for permission to settle here. I must balance my feelings of mercy and compassion toward this poor man. with my revulsion at the thought of a leper colony only a mile distant.
On the trawler, Nick and Elizabeth come down some steps into a dark and dusty compartment. Nick shines his torch beam towards something beside him.
It's rusted to the wall.
It was on.
Elizabeth finds a radio. Nick picks it up and inspects it. Elizabeth finds an empty can of beer.
We drank a lot of beer last night.
Yeah, every night.
What's it like?
It's always the same. Room starts spinning.
I mean fishing. Goes...
You fish.
The only thing I know about fishing is you use a lot of worms.
Mm. Salt water. She was clean 2 nights ago. I checked her out myself, and now it's as if she's been turned over in the water.
April 20, the six of us met tonight. From midnight until 1 o'clock, we planned the death of Blake and his comrades. I tell myself that Blake's gold will allow the church to be built and our small settlement to become a township, but it does not soothe the horror that I feel being an accomplice to murder.
Back in the trawler.
Now what?
Wait for the Coast Guard.
I'm sorry.
What for?
Ever since you picked me up, things have been going well. The clock broke, the windows have been breaking. The weirdo at the door last night.
That isn't you.
I'm not so sure. Things seem to happen to me. I'm bad luck.
I don't believe in luck, good or bad. I don't believe in anything much. Something did happen once. My father was a fisherman. He ran a trawler out of Whiteley Reef. One night, late, coming back in, he was out beyond the reef out near Spivey Point. He looked to windward, saw a brig under short sail, heading right for him. And he radioed. There was no reply. Nothing moved on the deck, but she held her course. My dad and two of his hands, they boarded the brig, the Risa Jane. No one was on board. There was food on the table and a hot, steaming cup of coffee. But underneath, the tin cup was rusted to the table. And then something caught my father's eye. It was a gold doubloon, minted in Spain, 1867. My dad picked up the coin, put it in his breast pocket of his jacket, zippered it up, came home, told us a story. And he unzippered the pocket to give me the coin. It was gone.
I think I'll go to Vancouver now.
Dick's body falls out onto Elizabeth.
April 21st, the deed is done. Blake followed our false fire on shore and his ship broke apart on the rocks off Spivey Point. We were aided by an unearthly fog that rolled in as if heaven sent, although God had no part in our actions tonight. Blake's gold will be recovered tomorrow, but may the Lord forgive us for what we have done. I couldn't read any further.
Your grandfather had a way with words.
Our celebration tonight is a travesty. We're honoring murderers.
Up as a breeze blows through the trees nearby. Stevie gets out of the Jeep. She gets to a wire fence with a plaque which says KAB Radio. Holding onto the driftwood from the old ship, Stevie presses play on a tape recorder she's carrying.
Side one, KAB promos and lead-ins.
More music on top of the world with KAB 1340.
33.
KAB 1340.
57.
Stevie descends steep steps down to the lighthouse. Stevie heads into the lighthouse.
31. The sounds of the surf from Antonio Bay. KAB 1340.
39.
Fabulous 1340. KAB Antonio Bay. More music on top of the world.
Stevie puts the driftwood down near her desk.
EST 111B, cut 2.
From the top of the world, fabulous 1340 KAB, Antonio Bay.
Father, where did you find this?
My grandfather hid his sins in the walls.
When did you find it?
Last night, just after midnight, what difference does it make?
That's the same time the rest of the town fell apart.
Yes. And the same time the six conspirators met, 100 years ago.
It's really getting late. There's not much we can do about any of this. Are you going to give the benediction tonight, Father?
Antonio Bay has a curse on it.
Do we take that as a no?
Maybe it's just as well. We're leaving now, Father. Will you be all right? I'm going to call Dr. Thaden and ask him to just drop by. I think you're taking all of this much too seriously.
We're all cursed, Mrs. Williams. All of us.
Father Malone stands staring ahead solemnly. Kathy turns to Sandy and they leave together. In the lighthouse, Stevie pours herself a coffee. Water starts oozing out of the piece of driftwood.
Vault 1340, KAB.
44.
The smooth sound. Fabulous 1340, KAB.
The water drips down the driftwood and runs towards the tape player. The inscription on the driftwood has changed to Must Die. The piece of driftwood bursts into flames. Stevie puts it out with an extinguisher. The inscription has changed back to Dane.
Side 2, KAB promos.
Stevie stares at the driftwood. She rests a hand on her stomach, looking shocked. Out at sea, the fast boat speeds away from the trawler. Nick looks down at Dick's covered corpse.
How can a man drown and not touch the water? He had water in his lungs, salt water around his mouth, and seaweed in his clothes. Unless... he
You okay?
Did you see his eyes?
Yeah, I saw his eyes.
Nick hugs Elizabeth. At Stevie's beach house.
Andy! The telephone!
I got it, Mrs. Culbritz. Hello?
Andy, where did you get that piece of driftwood?
I told you, Mom, it was on the beach this morning.
Where?
By the rocks.
What was it doing?
First it was a gold coin, and then it turned into the wood.
Andy, I want you to stay away from the rocks. Do you understand? Don't pick up anything else off the beach.
It didn't belong to anybody.
I know, honey. It's all right. I just don't want you to pick up anything else unless you come and get me first, okay?
Okay.
Is Mrs. Culbritz there?
She just came in.
Okay. I have to start the broadcast now. Andy, promise me you won't leave the house tonight.
Oh, Mom.
Promise me.
Okay.
I love you, Andy.
Me too, Mom. Bye.
Stevie sits at her desk looking spooked. She looks back at the driftwood, then gathers herself to speak into the mic.
Ahoy, mateys. This is Stevie Wayne, your nightlight. And KAB, Antonio Bay, California, is on the air. I've lined up some tunes to help you celebrate the 100th birthday of Antonio Bay. So let's get down to business.
In the beach house, Andy looks out of the window towards the sea. An elderly woman, Mrs. Culbritz, joins him.
What did your mother want, Andy?
Nothing.
Oh, it must have been something.
Nothing. Hey, Mrs. Culbritz, what are those clouds out there?
The fog rolls towards town under a grey sky. In a coroner's lab.
Evidence of deep penetrating wounds in each ocular orbit, entering into the cranial cavity. Also jagged lacerations of the face.
You want to wait out front?
Right. By the way, here with you.
Right area of skull crushed. Thorax has been crushed and the lungs are filled with fluid. Talk to you a minute.
Yeah.
Is she going to be all right? Did you talk to Sims?
I got him on the radio. He's coming back from Bodega Bay.
What the hell happened out there?
There was rust all over everything. It's like the boat had been out there a long time, taking on water. He was down below, near the bunks.
Nick, his wounds are covered with algae. His lungs are full and there's silt under his fingernails. I'll tell you, I saw Dick Baxter 3 days ago in Salinas. Now he's lying in there on the table looking like he's been underwater for a month.
Elizabeth looks over at Dick's body, then turns away in disgust. A small instruments table next to the body starts shaking.
Do you feel that?
I'll tell you what happened.
It just got cold in here.
See, the water acts like ice.
Elizabeth shivers. Behind Elizabeth, the sheets covering the corpse begin to move.
See, the whole body would take a year to decompose. Longer if it was down far enough, it was cold enough.
But he was on the boat. He was below decks.
No. Dick Baxter died in the ocean.
Dick's corpse picks up a scalpel from a table next to the coroner's slab. He sits up and creeps towards Elizabeth.
You remember last October those three kids that went diving for that old boat off the point?
Yeah.
We got to him, they'd been down for a week, maybe 10 days. I swear to you right now, he's been down longer.
Dick lunges at Elizabeth and falls.
Dick!
Nick sees Dick's corpse on the floor still clutching the scalpel. He hugs Elizabeth. The coroner notices that on the floor by the corpse, the letter M has been carved with the scalpel. Foghorns blow from the coast as evening sets in. Grey clouds loom over the coast and beyond, over the grass of the hills and over the roads. It's night time, the streets are empty and the shops of the town are shut. People of the town sit at the celebratory fete.
That beautiful ship upon our coast was, of course, a tragedy to those who were in the ship. It still was the catalyst that brought together all of the people of this wonderful area. They came together, they formed the charter for Antonio Bay. The charter by which you have voted for these councilmen who sit on my left and my right tonight.
Cassie, the Coast Guard's out there looking for them. They're going to cover the area pretty good, so... Really, all we can do is wait.
I understand, Sheriff. Thank you.
Celebrating the 100th anniversary.
I gotta go. I'm up next.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Williams.
It's funny. But all I can think about is my silly dog barking all night and me just wishing Al would come home. We can't have the chair lady of the birthday celebration in tears, can we?
I don't think you ought to go out there.
Oh, I think that's exactly what I ought to do. I appreciate all your help, Nick.
Kathy leaves the bar. Sandy looks at Nick and then follows her out. Nick grabs a shot glass and heads over to Elizabeth.
I searched a long time for this one. I hope you remember it. Happy 100th, Antonio Bay. The ceremonies are underway at Shelby Square, and we'll have that candlelight procession in about an hour. So if you hurry, you can still make it. The Coast Guard dropped me a note saying they found the seagrass earlier this afternoon, but there's no further word as to the condition of the ship or the men on board. I'll keep you posted as the news comes in to me. Hope no one else gets lost out there in the fog.
Nick knocks back his shot.
I'll be right back.
The lighthouse shines its beam into the night. Inside, the phone rings.
KB.
Hello, my name's Nick Castle. You don't know me, but...
I'm one of the men who found the seagrass this afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really don't have any further word.
I understand.
That's not what I called about. You just mentioned something now on the radio about the fog.
The fog drifts over the sea towards the coast. It's an eerie, luminous blue color.
Well, this is going to sound a little strange. I saw the fog last night, out in the ocean in the distance. It was glowing. Well, what seemed to be happening is that the wind was moving due east, and the fog just kept moving west. I know that sounds completely crazy.
Not right now, it doesn't.
Something happened last night. At the same time that fog was moving in, this whole town went unglued. Hold on.
Stevie puts the phone on the desk.
I've got some more birthday music for you, and a few other surprises. Then I'll be ready to check in with the weatherman.
And the weatherman will be ready to check in with you.
That was Dan driving his car. The glowing blue fog creeps onto a road.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
There's one other thing. It may have nothing to do with the seagrass.
Not anything.
My son found a piece of driftwood this morning.
Dan arrives at work and greets a black-haired guy, Mel.
Hey, Mel. How you doing?
Your girlfriend on the radio has been talking about you.
I came in tonight just to keep her happy.
Yeah, I thought you were off tonight.
I love my job.
Yeah, well, you can tell them all about that big fog bank moving in the southeast there.
Where?
Well, you'll see it. I'm on my way. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, Mel, I'll see you.
Mel goes. Dan, a guy in his 40s wearing an Aran jumper, looks down at a radar.
There you are.
The fog continues rolling in. Nick approaches Elizabeth.
I gotta make a run out to the lighthouse in Spivey Point. Wanna come?
KB.
Hi, sweetheart.
I thought you were celebrating.
I couldn't spend an evening without you.
Well, I'm up in about 30 seconds. What's new?
Another fog bank.
Where?
It's coming in off the ocean from the southeast. It's
heading inland. Should be here at the weather station in 5-10 minutes.
Dan, hold on. I have a special weather bulletin. The Tri-County Weather Station reports a fog bank moving southeast along the coast. For whoever's interested, that's the weather station on Old Russellville Road. Repeating, a fog bank is moving southwest along the coast toward the weather station on Old Russellville Road.
In the truck, Nick brakes and turns around.
Dan, are you still there?
I'm still here. Hey, you sound different tonight.
Kind of intense.
I just feel like talking, that's all.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you told me you didn't like to talk on the telephone because you talked on the radio all day.
Dan, where's the fog now?
Well, it should be right outside my door now.
Hold on, I'm going to try something.
Stevie turns the light out and sees the spreading fog.
I can see it.
Hey, now what is the big deal? You've seen fog once, you've seen it for life.
Oh, there's something different about this fog, Dan. It glows.
Can't you see anything yet?
Glows? Oh, well, I get it. You take something to keep you going, right? Does it make you feel a little weird sometimes? Hey.
What?
The lights went out. Everything's going crazy. Barometer's falling, temperature's dropping.
Dan, what is it?
What the hell's that?
Dan, what is it? What's happening? What is it?
What's happening?
Someone's shining a light through the window.
Dan, listen to me.
Hold on, sweetheart. I want to check this out.
Dan! Dan, stay on the phone!
Someone's thumping on Dan's door.
This has got to be a joke.
Fog creeps in under the door.
Someone's at the front door, sweetheart.
Playing a stupid joke.
And whoever it is, they ain't gonna like finding me home.
Dan, stay away from the door!
Dan! Dan!
Dan opens the door and is surrounded by fog.
Hello? Anybody here? Some asshole got drunk and started taking this 100-year-old business too seriously.
A ragged hand grabs Dan and sticks a hook in his throat. Dan struggles in the doorway, which is consumed by a pulsing white light. In the lighthouse, Stevie freezes with a phone to her ear. She slowly lowers the receiver and watches the approaching blue fog. Stevie turns towards the mic slowly, her eyes dead and her expression haunted.
And so all of us, living here in Antonio Bay today, owe a great debt of gratitude to those men and women 100 years ago who struggled and sacrificed to make this town grow into what it is today.
And it is up to us to keep their kind of spirit alive.
I have an urgent bulletin. Will Sheriff David Sims please contact KAB Radio immediately? The number is 555-2131. This is an emergency.
So we must redouble our efforts, work together. We have a vital, thriving community, and I say we have to keep it that way.
This is an emergency. Sheriff David Sims, please contact KAB immediately. 555-2131. This is an emergency.
At the town bar, the balding sheriff makes a call on the payphone. As he dials, the fog creeps up towards the phone lines outside.
Hello?
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 Sheriff Sims?
The fog destroys the lines. At the celebratory fete.
And so, as we make our way for the presentation of the statue, I think we should all keep in mind the significance of this night for every citizen of Antonio Bay.
Kathy lights a candle on the podium. The fog rolls in through the town's power station. The fog streams under the doors and creeps towards a huge generator. As the fog licks round the generator, sparks fly and it cuts out. The whole town goes into darkness. The lights inside the lighthouse go out. Inside the lighthouse, Stevie checks her equipment. At the fete, Kathy speaks to the audience.
We should all proceed over to the statue. Single file, don't push, take your time.
The crowd wander over towards the commemorative statue with candles in their hands. In the lighthouse, Stevie sees the fog reaching the beach near her house.
Andy!
She runs down a spiral staircase and pulls the cord on a mini generator.
Start!
At the beach house.
Why did all the lights go out?
Oh, one of the lines are probably down, Andy. They usually take care of these things right away.
I think it's kind of neat.
Mrs. Kobritz lights a candle and puts it down on a table. Nick and Elizabeth arrive at Dan's weather prediction office. The fog has moved on, but the doors open and the place is empty.
Hello? Hello?
At the beach house, Mrs. Kobritz looks out of the window and notices something. The fog drifts across the water towards the house. As the fog reaches the house, Stevie manages to get the generator started. She legs it up the staircase and grabs the microphone.
Andy! Andy, get out of the house! Mrs. Kobritz, get him out of the house! Please, run!
I think maybe we better close all the windows, Andy. Are your bedroom windows closed?
I'll go see. Hello?
Nick tries to dial out from the weather office.
Someone listen to me! My son is trapped! 887 White Beach Lane, my son is trapped by the fog! Andy, get out of the house! Run!
In the beach house, Andy watches the fog reach the windows.
Wow, look at that!
Are your windows all closed?
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder about your mother's bedroom.
Mrs. Kobritz looks spooked as someone knocks.
Please, someone! My son is trapped! Andy, run! Run! Mrs. Kobritz, run!
Andy, I want you to go to your room.
I think I should stay.
Right now.
Mrs. Kobritz opens the door where the fog has settled in a thick haze. She looks out into the bright fog.
Go to your room.
I want to see who it is.
No.
Can't I stay for 2 more seconds? Okay, I'm coming.
As Andy turns away and goes, two arms grab Mrs. Kobritz and pull her out into the fog. Andy sits on his bed as fog pours under the door.
Mrs. Kobritz! Mrs. Kobritz! Please, my son is trapped. 887 White Beach Lane. Someone get to 887 White Beach Lane. Mrs. Kobritz!
Nick hears Stevie's plea from his truck radio. A hook starts ripping Andy's bedroom door open. Nick speeds down the road towards the house and parks up. As the ragged figure steps through a hole in the door towards Andy, Nick smashes the bedroom window. Andy climbs out of the window as the figure staggers in, mummy-like, holding the hook aloft. Nick runs towards the truck carrying Andy.
Andy, run! Run!
Come on!
Go! Go!
Elizabeth tries to drive the truck, but the front wheel is stuck in some mud. As the fog surrounds the car, Andy notices the figure with the hook advancing on them. More figures shuffle towards the truck. Just as the ragged figures were about to attack through the windows, the car screeches away. Elizabeth reverses away from the creeping fog. Bravery fate, the sheriff speaks to Kathy and a grey-haired guy in a suit.
I've seen Stevie Wayne for the last 20 minutes.
I think it's best we call it a night here.
Another 5 or 10 minutes, everyone will have seen the statue.
All right. But let's get him through as quickly as we can.
It'd probably be a good idea if you went home, Kathy. We can close up here.
I should see it through to the end.
Mrs. Williams, there's nothing more to do here. Let me take you home.
A little annoying, but you're right. Would you please take him?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll call you tomorrow, Kathy.
In the lighthouse, Stevie's on the mic watching the strange blue fog below.
Andy, I don't even know if you can hear me. I'm sorry that I didn't come for you, that I wasn't there. Andy, please understand. I have to stay here.
Stevie's lip trembles. She fights back tears.
The fog is moving inland, away from the beach, towards Antonio Bay.
Elizabeth drives the truck along a dark road.
It's over by the island. I can't remember the name of it. Holland. No, I think it's Chestnut.
Sandy drives Kathy down another dark road.
Feel like listening to some music?
Sure.
It's moving faster now. Up Regent Avenue, up to the end of Small House Road.
What's that?
Just hitting the outskirts of town. Broad Street. Clay Street. Nick!
The blue fog swirls in on a town street towards Nick's truck. Sandy brakes on a town street and turns left to avoid the fog.
If you're on the south side of town,
go north. Stay away from the fog.
Elizabeth zooms down a country road.
Richardsville Pike, up to Beacon Hill is the only clear road. Up to the church. If you can get out of town, get to the old church.
Elizabeth drives past the roadside crucifix.
Now the junction at 101 is cut off. If you can get out of town, get to the old church. It's the only place left to go. Get to the old church on Beacon Hill.
At the church, Kathy and Sandy rush out of the car and run towards Nick, Elizabeth, and Andy.
He cut us off!
Where is it?
Right behind us in the driveway.
Quick, inside!
They head into the church as the fog creeps up the hill.
Hurry!
Father, is there a basement or cellar in here?
We can't hide any longer.
But we have
to
try.
No matter where we go, it will find us.
The fog advances towards the church.
Is there a basement or cellar here, Father?
There's a study in back. I'll show you the way.
Come on.
Hurry.
Come on, give me that.
Nick takes a bottle of booze from Father Malone and smashes it against a pew where the leather journal sits. Sandy looks out of the study window and stares open-mouthed as the fog closes in outside. Nick closes the window. In the lighthouse,
the fog is sweeping inland. It's almost like a wall across the east end of town.
Stevie turns her head and sees the fog creeping towards the lighthouse. The luminous blue fog cascades down some rocks towards the lighthouse. Inside the church,
Blake and his men have come for us.
Oh,
it's our
in the
day
journal.
Of judgment.
What journal?
I don't know.
We're
it's
cursed.
Father, where's
all
the journal?
What are you talking about?
Oh, where's the journal?
It's in there.
Nick opens the door and looks out over the pews.
Over by the window?
It can do us no good now.
It's all we've got. If anything happens, just lock the door.
Get back. Shut the door.
Nick looks for the journal. At the lighthouse, the whole tower is masked by fog. Elizabeth turns her head when she hears banging. As Elizabeth makes her way down the spiral staircase, the fog reaches her mini generator. In the church study, Kathy leafs through the journal.
6 must die. That was on the
three men on the seagrass.
And the weatherman is 4.
Mrs. Culbertson?
Yep, 5.
And one of us? Six.
That's what they want. They've come back for the 6 original conspirators.
6 other lines to take the place.
Me, they want. I am.
Why would they want you?
Father, you didn't read us this. Were it possible to raise the dead, I would return Blake's fortune to him intact, save the money spent on these walls that hide it.
My fellow conspirators believe that the confiscated fortune has been stolen from them, when in fact I am the thief and God's temple is the tomb of gold. I am the thief and God's temple is the tomb of gold.
Now wait, get rid of that!
A ragged arm smashes through one of the study windows. Nick and the others move a big cabinet across the room to cover the window up. In the lighthouse, Stevie tries to barricade the entry door with a ladder as a figure tries to get in. In the church study,
give me a hand.
Hands smash through the stained glass windows in the church. In the study, Father Malone and Kathy tear the stones of the walls away and pull out something. In the lighthouse, Stevie flees upstairs as a figure barges through, pulling away the metal door. Father Malone retrieves the item wrapped in cloth. It's a large gold crucifix. Stevie runs out onto the lighthouse balcony. Stevie watches as a figure staggers through the lighthouse studio. Kathy and Father Malone have unwrapped the gold crucifix and support it together.
They melted down the gold into this.
A figure grabs Sandy through the window. Nick pulls her away. Father Malone clutches the crucifix against his body. As everyone else struggles with a zombie-like figure trying to get through the window, Malone wanders out into the church with the crucifix.
Don't go in there!
At the lighthouse, Stevie's still on the balcony. She circles round, looking through the studio across to another window. Beyond the window, she sees a dark figure on the other side of the balcony coming round towards her. In the church, Father Malone carries the crucifix out. Looking out over the pews, his attention is caught by dark, ragged figures standing in the aisles, watching him. Fog pours into the church behind the zombie figures, who stand motionless.
Blake?
One of the figures advances through the fog towards the altar. At the lighthouse, Stevie climbs a ladder leading onto the small sloped roof of the tower. She slips and her nails claw the metal as she slides. She stops herself from falling by catching the top part of the ladder with her feet, then climbs up again, reaching the top. Hanging onto the top, she looks down at the ladder and the blue fog beneath it. At the church, Malone addresses the figure, who has bright red eyes.
This is your goal, Blake. My grandfather stole it from you. I'm the one who must answer for it.
Blake half unsheathes a sword and walks towards Malone. Malone holds the gold crucifix out in front of him.
I'm the sixth conspirator. I'm Father Malone. Take me.
Trying to stop herself from slipping, Stevie looks down and sees the figure reaching the top of the ladder. He clambers up onto the roof holding a hook. As she watches the zombie, she fails to see another one who has climbed up onto the other side. The zombie sticks a hook in her shoulder, and she slides down. At the bottom of the roof by the ladder, Stevie removes the hook from her shoulder, grimacing with pain. As the first zombie looms over her, she sweeps at him with the hook. He turns away, and the light catches his face. It's green, and maggots writhe around in his cheek. As the two figures circle her, she swipes out with the hook. In the church, Blake grabs the crucifix and it glows white. Malone, who still has his hands on it, convulses and his face turns red. Smoke pours out of the crucifix. As Stevie thrashes out with the hook and the figures close in, Nick pulls Malone away from the crucifix and they fall backwards. Blake glows as white as the crucifix. He explodes into a sheet of white light and disappears. The zombie figures that Stevie and Sandy had been fighting also vanish. Kathy, Sandy, and Elizabeth look around the room, still shaken. They dash out through the doorway leading into the church. Elizabeth finds Andy and pulls him towards her. Nick gets up from the floor and stands. Father Malone stands and looks out over the church. It's peaceful again and the fog has disappeared. Up on the roof of the lighthouse, Stevie looks around as the fog recedes. Stevie sinks her head back, her lower lip trembling. She looks exhausted and upset. Nick and the others come out of the church and watch the fog drift away. The road leading away from the church comes into view again. In town, the fog dissipates in the streets. The ocean is clear again, reflecting the moonlight from its rippling waters. In the lighthouse, Stevie talks into the mic.
I don't know what happened to Antonio Bay tonight. Something came out of the fog and tried to destroy us. In one moment, it vanished. But if this has been anything but a nightmare, and if we don't wake up to find ourselves safe in our beds, it could come again. To the ships at sea who can hear my voice, look across the water into the darkness. Look for the fog.
Father Malone steps out of his study and wanders into the darkened church. He stops near the altar, deep in thought. He ambles down an aisle looking tired. As he does so, fog drifts under the doorway of his study, out into the church. Father Malone turns and sees the silhouettes of Blake and his ragged zombie standing in the aisle. Malone turns to get away and a dark figure with red eyes behind him chops into his neck with a sword. ITFC audio description. Thank you.